Wow. What do you think? Look at the way the Father loved him. I think I cry every time I see that. Obviously a modern day adaptation of Jesus's wonderful parable of the lost son. Look at the way the son rebelled. He did, didn't he? And then he sought his father again. The father just forgave him with this amazing, not just okay, and gave him a lecture, ran to him and threw him a party with all those balloons. That's how the Father loves you and the Father loves me. That's what Father God is like. That is amazing grace. I think I'm done. No, I'm joking. So, today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Would you like to open your Bibles to that part? We might have a PowerPoint, but we might not. We'll see. Who would like to read it? Can I pick one of my kids to do it? I pick Andre. Come up and read Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Thank you.
In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and sins. At that time, you followed the world's evil way. You obeyed the ruler of the spiritual powers in space, the spirit who now controls the people who disobey God. Actually, all of us were like them and lived according to our natural desires, doing whatever suited the wishes of our own bodies and minds. In our natural condition, we, like everyone else, we're destined to suffer God's anger. But God's mercy is so abundant and his love for us is so great that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It is by God's grace that you have been saved. In our union with Christ, Jesus has raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. He did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness of his grace in the love he showed us in Christ Jesus. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ, with Jesus, he has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do.
Thank you. Awesome. So, the conversation about sin and that sort of thing isn't very common today, really, is it? But today, I'm just going to really, my heart's cry is to encourage you to know that you're loved, okay? And you're prepared to do good works. And that love is what motivates you to do the good works, to roll up your sleeves in Christian service. Yeah. So this, you know, that's the scripture that we just read. So I just want to say up front that I'm a sinner, okay? And I'm not going to get on my high horse and point any fingers today. I think everyone is in the same boat, right? Yep. So this is an amazing letter that Paul wrote while he was in Rome, and he wrote it to the Ephesians, the young church of Christian believers in Ephesus. Now, I could go into the reasons why he talked about this. I could talk about how, you know, there are temptations. There was an awful festival in Ephesus, like a real pagan festival. Really ugly stuff, dark deeds happened. And, you know, we could go down that path, but actually, we'll just talk about the fact that Paul is writing about evil in this world now. And he asks those young Christians in Ephesus to be really careful and stay on the right path. He saw with his own eyes that the path of evil is really bad. Do you know why it's bad? It's bad for your soul. It's really bad for your soul, people. And so he's saying, seek God. He will protect you. In scripture, it says that he will put his angels around us. He will protect us. We just ask him. So we can talk about the badness scale of sin, you know, murder, right down to gossip and everything in between. But actually, we won't talk about that. But we will talk about the fact that we're, you know, all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all like sheep that has gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Okay. Thank you very much. That's a Colin Buchanan Christian song based on this wonderful scripture. So we all have problems, we all have weaknesses, and we're all tempted towards doing wrong. I'm in this too. When I was a teenager, back in the 80s, naughty was cool and evil was attractive. I think it's the same today. A teacher at the school that my kids go to talked about sin in this way. She said, just pray for your children that they stay on the right path. It's a bit like some teenagers see the mud and they go, ooh, I might put my toe in, just try that. It's like other teenagers go, yay, boom, and wallow around and get really muddy. I love that analogy so that I can pray for my children that they walk around the edges and observe and steer clear of that mud, which is sin, evil, yuck. I think another helpful way of thinking about it is the wrong road. I'll give you an illustration in my life. When we flew as a family to Greece, it was the middle of summer. In fact, that's where David and Chris are today, in Greece. It was 45 degrees. And we landed in Athens with all our bags and followed the instructions very carefully to get on the right bus. The right number, the right road, everything. Follow it to the end of the line and the loving auntie will be there with arms open wide. Ooh. No, we got on the right bus, the right road, but instead of really long way in the wrong direction. And it was hot and he was 6 and tired and he was 9. Oh, but we found a taxi, jumped in. The taxi man saved us. He saved us. He had air conditioning. He knew where to go and he took us into the loving arms of our loving auntie in Athens. It's a bit like that. Sometimes we just don't know. We're pleasantly, blissfully going along the wrong way in life. And, you know, there's someone like a taxi driver, someone who knows a little bit more than us, who points us in the right direction. It could be a friend. It could be a loving neighbour. It could be a youth group teacher. Often it's us at night time going, God, I think I made a mistake. Forgive me. And then he does. He's so faithful to forgive and help you start again. So, just wrapping up the sin part, because no one really likes talking about sin, but I know for me, if I'm only interested in me and my interest, my soul gets a bit shallow. But I know for me, when I'm connected to God, my soul has real depth and I'm saved. So, what do we do about this? We can confess our sins to one another. It's really good for the soul. Just talking to a friend, asking for prayer, something we're struggling with. Worshipping the Lord is really good for the soul. Surrendering your body, mind and soul is good for the soul. We're surrendering it to God, of course. So at this point, I just want to blow some bubbles to make sure we're all awake. Ooh, there's God's grace. Okay, in pictorial format. All right, we're all awake? Good. Next bit. There. Now we get to the good bit, right? The extra good bit. Because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And it's by grace you've been saved. He's raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he may show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Remember the father, prodigal son story just then? Clicked a button and a whole table, party table opened up. It's a bit like that. There it is. There are hundreds and hundreds of verses repeating this amazing truth. And when the Bible repeats things, it means that it's pretty important. So I hope we absorb it. I had the privilege, I want to tell you about one of my wonderful clients I met a couple of weeks ago. Such a privilege. The oldest surviving heart transplant recipient in Victoria. He got it in 1999. He was literally saved by another person's death. See where I'm going? He got a new heart. The thing is, that was 19 years ago. But every day he has to take medication to help his liver work, his kidneys work, his lungs work, everything to work well. So the doctors at the Alfred Hospital are a massive team helping him live. Yeah? He has this amazing attitude. He says, because of this gift, he's very, very grateful for every single day, and every day is a gift. So I think sometimes we think this verse is only for people who first come to faith and that's it, we can drop it. But we can be saved daily by our doctor, Jesus Christ, who helps us. He's made us alive. We have the joy of Christian life every day. It's a gift, that salvation, daily. We just have to humbly accept that gift and open it. He's got a plan and a purpose. Verse 7 and 8 plainly talks about Jesus' kindness towards us and this covenant with us. We're his children. Everything he has is ours. Do you know that? That is so special. So if he's rich in mercy and he's got abundance of it, you think he'll leave us wallowing in sadness? No, if we call to him, he'll give it to us. Can be assured that we're seated in Christ and living in the Spirit. So we got this gift not by mustering strength. So all my life, up until I was 18, I actually didn't know this truth. And I'm so glad I do know it now. That's not, I didn't earn his favour. He's already pleased with me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus is pleased with you already. We're his children and we obey him out of this place of love. I'll say it again. Jesus is pleased with you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is pleased with you. Because you have faith. So it's his pleasure to empower us to obey him. It's like a tap that never runs dry in the desert. Like it's hard to imagine, but it's true. It's like a sweet spot on a tennis racket. I have a tennis playing son I'm very proud of. And when he hits the tennis racket on the edge of the racket, it doesn't work that well. But I say, don't worry, we paid for the frame. That's okay. But when he does mostly awesome shots, in the middle of the racket, pow, it's in the line of sweet spot. And that's what it's like when we ask God to give us his mercy and show us what to do with our hands and accept his love. I have a spiritual example in my life. I was sitting about there 2 years ago, and I thought the Holy Spirit might have been talking to me, and so I checked, is that you, God? And he was prompting me to start up this mainly music ministry for the mums of the local area. And It's been easy. Sometimes work is hard, but it's been the sweet spot in the tennis racket, I can tell you. When volunteers popped up all over the place to help, I was so grateful in my heart. So thank you for those. You know who you are. And so we're doing Christianity with our sleeves rolled up. I'd like to borrow that phrase from the Salvation Army. But really, we're just blessing young families. That's all we're doing. I'm not sitting on my high horse. It's God's grace that's shown us this. It's like the best fit of the kingdom of God work and the talents that you've been blessed with put together and wackadoo in the middle of the tennis racket, over the net. What do these works look like? Well, I know a particular Mr. Simon Moyle who has social justice burning in his heart. So for him, it's standing up for the weak and the oppressed and teaching his community. I know that my grandparents prayed for me. That's what it looked like for them, and I'm grateful. I know for counsellors and psychologists, they are caring. They listen. They do the work of love and listening. I know for the cooks that they make meals and they provide blessings to those who might not be able to cook. People visit those who are unwell. Bless you for visiting the unwell. I was a recipient, happily, 2 years ago when I had an ankle reconstruction. Changed my life having you visit. I had chronic regional pain syndrome. It's the worst thing you can have. It's awful. I know, I can't say that on the microphone. But people visited me and cheered me up and jollied me along, gave me food. Man, that was a blessing. That is the work of the church. Thank you so much, of Christian believers. You know, in the physical, we think about, all right, well, he's good with his hands, and off he goes to be a mechanic or a chef or an artist. God's put good things in you too, in the spiritual as well, to use these good gifts. He's a good talker. Be a youth pastor. You know, what about missionaries and their impact? Love of the people all around the world. They're just putting their Jesus with legs on, right? What are the good paths he's prepared for us? I love my clicker. It's not working. It's gonna. Ooh, there it is. Okay. In all this, please remember that what motivates us? God's love, God's grace, not out of fear or earning stripes, right? It's really good to know that. That's right. Ooh, blank. There might be some questions about how to apply it. How can I live this in my family? Sometimes family's hard, but love them as God loves them is what I think is important in this. That means forgiving them and encouraging them. Can you do that? It's hard. Ask God for strength. There's another question. What if I have a quiet lifestyle and I spend time with only a few people? How can I make a difference? What would Jesus say? Well, maybe he could say a few things. But what about you ask God's help in this one? Maybe you could do an act of kindness or speak a word of encouragement. What did they say? 10 life words can make a big difference to even one death word, you know? You could start a godly conversation, maybe with this in this situation. You might think that you're too young, don't know what to do about that. Well, to you, I say, listen to your friends with kindness. My goodness, if you're young, a lot of people thinking about just themselves. Listen, it's amazing what you can do by real listening with kindness. Ask God for wisdom as well, and ask him to protect you, because you can't carry everything that they say. Also, just choose to give more of your soul to Jesus. There might be dark bits that you haven't given to him and he can shed light on. That makes you alive in Christ. Less baggage, more joy. Next one. Yep, but this is really hard to do. Yep. Yes, I agree. Can someone pray for you and keep you accountable for doing acts of kindness? I think that might be something you could try. He'll be there guiding us. Remember, he's real. He's as real as the floor I'm standing on. He's powerful. He's immeasurable. His love has amazing riches and abundance. And he wants to help us to help others. He does. Next one. How could God use little old me? Oh, well, what do you reckon? I reckon he's doing a good job of using everyone. Paul touched on it just then. You are his workmanship. If you know that, God actually had a reason to make you and wants to spiritually renew you. And he wants you to be used, ready to be used. A life of Christian service and joy and blessed to be a blessing. I love that saying. Can we all say, blessed to be a blessing? Thank you. Mother Teresa is my hero. She said, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." Isn't that beautiful? Next one. Let us never grow weary in doing good. That's Bible truth. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's help each other out. Next. All right, we'll leave that for a bit. Look at what God's already done in your life. I know for me, we'll just go back one because everyone's reading it. I just want to say, God's done so much in your life already. You're beautiful. You're incredible and you are amazing. Did you know that English isn't my first language? Did you know I was so shy that I wouldn't say boo to a fly? It's true. Look, I don't know. God's grace opened my mouth and now I can talk. just saying. If we look back over our lives and see... reflect, God's been here and God's been here, and it's by his grace. So we don't have to boast, it's just by faith. He just keeps lovingly pouring that tap that doesn't run dry into our souls and keeping us alive, you know. So I want to encourage you to remember this, that by his strength we can do it. He calls us to just keep being faithful. Just keep doing good works. Ask God which ones so you don't burn out. Goodness, have to have balance. It might be as simple as being a friend. Just want to blow some bubbles just at this point. Make sure we're all awake. Sometimes it's just being a good neighbour. What does Jesus say about being a good neighbour? Let's do it. Let's just do it. Roll up our sleeves. So what's one thing you could do differently this week? Should we just have a little pause? How can we apply this? How can you love and serve? Now for the grand finale. Next one. Oh, whoopsie. Can we all say this out loud? You are God's love child. You are amazing. This world is blessed to have you in it. You have giftings from God and so many things left to do here. God is your Saviour and friend. He will show you how to be a blessing to others. You can do this when you surrender to Him. God will empower you to love and good works. And with that, I'll just end by praying. And I don't have a little bag with little bits of paper of things you have to do. Only the children got to do that. There's 100 possibilities of good acts. If you want to talk to me, if this has brought up anything, I talked about sin, I talked about forgiveness, I talked about grace, talked about good works. It might have gone ping, ping in your mind, I don't like that, or, oh, that sits badly with me, or, oh, I don't know what to do with that. I'm happy to talk to you and pray with you after the service. Can I pray for you now, pray a blessing? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you protect us and you love us. When we reach out to you, we're in your camp. We're seated in your heavenly places. And your amazing love is on offer for us to pass on to others as well. And you always welcome us home with loving arms whenever we talk to you. So we pray that the message of today would actually release a new, fresh insight into how we can walk the walk and be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.